Well, I'm a believer who's in recovery and struggles with people-pleasing, a.k.a. codependency, and sexual purity, and my name is Raj.
Hi.
I grew up in upstate New York in a broken home, and my birth parents separated when I was 4 years old. In the early 1960s, the welfare system was not in place, so my brother stole food for my family to survive, my oldest brother. My mom became suicidally depressed, and my dad went to jail. My mom went to a psychiatric hospital for evaluation. My middle brother and I went to live with a foster family. When I was 13, I discovered pornography in my foster dad's bedroom. It became instantly hooked and withdrawn from family members and friends. In 1980, back up a little bit, when I was 17, first my brother, David, was my middle brother, and he's the one who was more important to me than life itself. He was my savior. He was the greatest thing that happened in my life. We were together for, he was in my life for 14 years. So in 1980, when I was 17, my beloved brother, David, died in an automobile accident, and I lived with a sense of guilt. See, it's one thing for your parents to abandon you. It's quite another when God has abandoned you. That is how I felt when my brother died. I became severely depressed and would deal with my pain by playing the people-pleasing game with my family. My underage drinking buddies appointed me the beer buyer for our illegal beverage gatherings. The same year, a friend came into my life and led me to become part of God's family. My next adventure would be to graduate from high school and join the Navy. I was assigned to a ship and continued drinking and isolating myself. In the Navy, I met a couple who managed a hospitality house for the military. And in 1986, I became friends with the Christian Servicemen Center director in Guam when he came aboard ship. I soon rededicated my life, was baptized in the Philippine Sea, and my drinking stopped for 2 years. They challenged me to go to Bible college, so after I was honorably discharged from the Navy, I did. My relationship with God was shallow in Bible college. I was not allowed to drink. I felt worthless, and I didn't believe God was who He said He was. I was angry with God and myself, but stepped out in faith for 2 summers of missionary work in southern China. At one point, I smuggled Bibles into China while heavily armed soldiers searched my luggage and found nothing. And there was 21 of us on that team. That was a miracle. Upon returning to the U.S., I met a single mom with a 4-year-old son, and we became friends. We sang in the church choir. In 1996, I asked her to marry me and adopted her son in 1997. 1998, I heard about Celebrate Recovery at the church I was attending. The people there were friendly and they loved me, but I was still anxious and nervous. I did not share my core issues with them because I had a drinking problem and I also used manipulation. When I was at home, I led a denial kind of lifestyle and used control to lead my family. I was angry, and if I did not please others, including my family, I isolated myself. When I began my first step study, I gained a sponsor and accountability partner who tried to keep me on track, but I used, once again, manipulation to keep the truth from them. Church people could not tell that I was living a lie. Inside, I felt depressed because I had a low view of myself. I continued going to Celebrate Recovery every week, though. Mark 11:26 says, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. God showed me that I needed to forgive the driver of the truck that killed my brother David. And recently he has asked me, son, are you willing to contact your brother's best friend and let him know that you forgive him? And I said, yes. I've been able to forgive him, the driver, and myself for being imprisoned by the guilt and the anger for so long. The barrier between God and me was gone as I realized I no longer had held God responsible for my brother's death. I am free from this burden that for so long held me back from trusting the God I serve. Principle one, realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. My marriage suffered due to my withdrawal from my wife and my son. They were so patient with me, and I am so grateful God used them. I learned how to be a reliable husband and nurture my son. I was in process. In 1999, I began using antidepressants to cope with the pressures of life. The Celebrate Recovery program I attended each week ended. I periodically felt lonely for the next few years. By 2005, my doctor added anti-anxiety pills to my prescription. I continued drinking, but on a less frequent basis, and was able to make wiser choices from the entanglements of sexual purity. I met with my small men's group from church on a weekly basis. I was and always will be thankful to these guys who challenged me by asking me the tough questions about my life. In February of 2007, my messy marriage had me beat down. 6 months later, my wife and I joined Crossroads. Without the respect due a spiritual leader, I read the word and drank on a regular basis. I felt embittered at my wife. There was no hope. It wasn't long before I mixed a deadly concoction, as if the heavens were as brass and God could no longer hear me. One afternoon, I chose to punch my ticket for the last time. I fell asleep, but my wife unexpectedly found me and unsuccessfully tried to wake me. She called 911. I awoke. I discovered I had been unconscious in the emergency, the hospital ER, for 48 hours, if you can believe it. My pastor had been praying over me and was thankful I had survived the trauma. The next day, I was admitted to the psychiatric hospital. God gave me a word from Psalm 139, verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God had given me a new lease on life, and I have not been the same ever since. Step one says, I admitted I was powerless over my addictions and compulsive behaviors, and my life had become unmanageable. In June of 2008, I began taking karate to develop my self-confidence. Learning this new skill has allowed me to vent my anger in appropriate ways. To God, it was no surprise, and now I no longer act out by making poor choices with my anger. However, my deception with my wife grew as I hid beer in my backpack. Starting in 2010, a church friend prayed for me a year and a half that I would join Celebrate Recovery. Karate was important to me. It was the same night as Celebrate Recovery. I changed my karate night to a different night so I'd have the support I needed to heal. And the reason I have been in karate, because I want to teach other people that they don't have to allow fear to rule their lives. In June of 2012, Celebrate Recovery was once again a part of my life. This was very much a pivotal point for me. 1 month later, I gave myself a license to drink whenever I desired. Finally, I was given the ultimatum by my wife: choose the family or beer. I made the wise choice of choosing her, don't you think? Instead of separation, I removed the alcohol from the refrigerator and dumped it down the sink. God's peace has been in me after that final decision, since then. In February of 2013, I began my second step study and was a co-leader of it. God helped me to be more transparent with myself by getting at the root of the issues holding me back from moving forward in my relationship with God. In my small group, I was able to give myself permission to cry. This has helped me to feel my feelings. Learning to become a leader in Celebrate Recovery has enabled me to allow others' criticism to roll off my shoulders and not take it personally. Step 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. I think in my list I had about 95 people. This step was crucial to me because I was holding bitterness toward my son and felt he was a trigger. For me, a trigger is a point of reference that goes back to a previous issue and having a knee-jerk reaction to it. I love my son very much. With my sponsor's help and prayers, I made a decision to wash his feet. It was a very much intense situation, and I got on my knees and I sobbed why I did this, but I asked my son to forgive me, and he did. And I thank the Lord for that. Jesus gave his disciples this example by washing their feet to show how to serve them. The reason I served my son in this way was because, see, I wasn't free inside to let my relationship with him move forward. Now I have a new relationship with my son, and I want the very best from God for his life. Step 9, we made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. I no longer hold resentments and grudges against anyone, even if someone cuts me off on the freeway. See, because God has forgiven me, because I'm in process, my marriage has drastically improved, and I've learned to listen better as a husband and serve my wife. I also realize my marriage is not about my wants and desires. It's about mutual understanding. Besides a relationship with Jesus, my wife is the very best thing that's ever happened to me. When I read my Bible every day, I use the Celebrate Recovery Journal to record victories. I have proof against the enemy that I do not hold resentments against people. It helps me to begin and end the day with Jesus. I've had a regular time with God for the last 325 days. I thank him for it. Principle 8, yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. In early 2014, as I gave myself to God, I began to lead a third step study. This began another pivotal choice for me with my wife. You see, God will not move in any area of my life, if he does not have permission from me or us. And I had to have total surrender. In the Bible, Jesus healed 10 lepers, and only one of them returned to thank him. And that's something. My life is no longer mine, so I yield myself to God each day, because he is the one who continually makes the improvements in me. Changes God has made in my life this year. I have 20 days sobriety in the area of people-pleasing, 30-day coin for victory over anger, 7-month sobriety in the area of sexual purity, 3-year sobriety over all antidepressants and anxiety pills and any other pills that the doctor wanted to give me. And also, my wife and I will be celebrating our 17-year wedding anniversary here another week or so. So praise God with me. Thank you. So what encouragement can I give a newcomer? Well, keep coming back. As you come to celebrate recovery, realize that I have been where you are now. People here care about you and want to see you heal from your wounds. Serve others. Get involved with giving yourself to help those in need. Join a step study. Heal from past abuse by talking it out in a private small group setting with other people dealing with the same issue. And give yourself permission to heal. The habits that have been created in your life, they took many years to occur. Be patient with yourself. It will be well worth the time you put into your recovery, and don't be afraid to cry either. And we at the leadership team of Celebrate Recovery are praying for you. John Baker, founder of Celebrate Recovery, has written a book entitled Your First Step to Celebrate Recovery. He says, your amazing journey starts with principle one, where you admit that you're powerless to control your hurts, hang-ups, and habits, and that your life has become unmanageable, out of control. Before you begin this exciting journey, you need to ask yourself the following two questions. One, am I wearing a mask of denial? And then two, over what do I really have control? God says in Jeremiah 6:14, you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. My name is Raj. Thanks for letting me share.